Thank you, Brother Dennis, for that beautiful song, beautiful rendition. Brother Dennis said he'd sing all his life. He had to because he's the youngest, I guess, of the Moore family, the singing Moore family's older brothers and sisters. They all sang all across the country. And it was in his heart to sing. He's been doing a great job of that, and we're so blessed. We're so blessed this morning to have Brother Tom Shashar with us. If you look at their website, our church, you support many, many missionaries. Very important that we do because God blesses those. He blesses us if we support them. One of my favorite ones, I believe, doing so much work is Old Paths Ministry. He's going to come share that with us this morning. He and I have been reminiscing this morning about how we met Camp Zion, Myrtle, Mississippi. Lord's seen fit that I've been going there 42 years, and he's probably not been going there hardly that long. We met, our paths crossed, and he started this ministry in 2001, and then he started going over there in Africa. He will tell us about that, Brother Tom, if you'll come up here, please. And we're so delighted to have him, and you will be too. Many of you have not met him, even though we've been supporting him for 20 years. Doing a great work. He's going to share that with us. And there's some needs. He's not able to go right now over there, but as soon as he gets a visa, I'm sure he will. He's not one of the missionaries that goes over and tells them what to do, but he just does it with them. And that's why it's so important. So he's going to tell us this morning some of the great things God has done through Old Paths Ministry. Brother Tom, good to have you, my brother.
Oh, be back with you. In the Carolinas, about 20 years ago, I guess it was, when I had the opportunity to go back and do a little study and went to Fruitland for 2 years. And Brother Roy and I, he helped me with a couple of my classes and stuff. And he always said, one of these days, God's going to make a Tar Heel out of you. Well, on a part-time basis, and if God ever takes me out of Tennessee, I hope that he brings me to the Carolinas. And stuff, but I'll tell you, brother, my heart's desire has always been to sing. I just never could. That's why the Lord said make a joyful noise. But I'm going to tell you, if God hadn't got your fire burning a little bit brighter this morning after what we've already heard and felt God do, I'm going to tell you something, your wood's wet. And we need to hope and pray that God will dry it out and you'll get on fire for God this morning. Amen. Before I start, I've asked, we're going to share a song with you. I'm not going to sing it. Don't worry. Don't get up and leave. That's on CD. And, some years ago, I got this song from a young man in Africa, who loves the Lord, lives for the Lord, and does. And this song, Matthew 25 has been the foundational scripture for Old Path Ministry since the beginning. It didn't just pull out of the air. God led me and directed me in that. But this song, for some years, I believe ought to be the heartbeat for every Christian. It ought to be our daily drive when you wake up of a morning. Lord, what can I do today to serve you better? The name of the song is Let Me Do One More Thing Before I Die. What we did yesterday, that was yesterday. What we've done in the past is in the past. Oh, but God, let me do one more thing before I die. Listen to the words of this song.
The sun goes up. The sun goes down. They come as days and go as years. I was young and now I'm grown. Can I do one more thing before I die? The sun goes up, the sun goes down. They come as days and go as years. I was young and now I'm grown. Can I do one more thing before I die? Can I say one more word before I die? Can I give one last prayer for someone in need of love? Can I please sing one more song just for one more soul? Can I do one more thing before I die? And now I'm here, counting the years, counting the gains, mourning the loss, scarred by the world, clinging to hope. Can I do one more thing before I die? Can I say one more word before I die? Can I give one last prayer for someone? Can I please sing one more song? Oh, just for one more soul. Can I do one more thing before I die? When I am gone to glory land, don't you worry, don't you cry. I am at rest, I am at peace. I did one more thing before I died. I said one more word before I died. I gave one last prayer for someone in need of love. And I did sing one more song, oh, just for one more soul. I did one more thing before I died. Before I died. Can I say one more word before I die? Can I give one last prayer for someone in need of love? Can I please sing one more song? Oh, just for one more soul. Can I do one more thing before I die?
Amen. Ought to be our desire to do one more thing before we die. Some of you, most of you, may know me. Some of you wouldn't acknowledge that you know me. And some don't. But let me just kind of give you a background brief is for those that don't have the knowledge of what God has given us, fell to our lot to do and to work on and take the gospel. Of course, we're all charged. Hello? We're all charged to taking the gospel around the world. It's our responsibility to go and see to it that the gospel is preached. And it amazes me, in Africa, I still get to go to places where the gospel is not preached. We are on track right at 1 million decisions for Christ since 03. I hope and pray that God opens the doors for us to go back. I have been scheduling October all along, and I'm not closing that door. God will have to close that door. Don't talk to me about COVID. Don't talk to me about none of that other. Just talk to me about the will of God. That's, amen. People say, aren't you scared to go to these places? I said, why would I? I'm more scared not to. Listen, if you're not doing what God wants you to do, hey, you're in trouble. And I'd be in trouble. I tell folks, listen, if he can't take care of me there, he can't take care of me here. Amen. Let's get our eyes off of circumstances and situations and just get our eyes back on God. Follow his direction. He's not going to mislead us. Now, if his will is not for me to go, he'll close those doors. If God doesn't want you doing things and you are seeking his will, he'll close the doors where he doesn't want you to go. He don't want you in danger. He doesn't want you in danger, even the COVID or whatever. But you know, it amazes me that the Bible says I'm appointed unto man once to die and then the judgment. And people fear the COVID more than fear of dying and going to hell. First of all, I don't know why a saint would fear death under any circumstance. However God chooses to take us, he takes us. So I just pray that we choose him. Amen. Let me tell you how God tugged on my heart. On that day, I was actually at Fruitland. I go back. There's some places and times in your life, like Brother Roy said, the experiences that we've shared at Myrtle Camp Zion, underneath the mighty hand of, and the preaching of the Word of God through people like Brother Percy Ray and Dr. J. Harold Smith and so many others that helped get us young boys grounded in the Word of God. And I was walked into the mission class one day. And don't tell me, if you told me the day before, you're going to go to Africa, I'd say, you crazy. I'd go to California. I wouldn't mind going to Hawaii. I don't think I'd ever go to Africa. I wouldn't pick Africa. But we walked in there, and Brother Jerry White, he says, I've got a video for y'all to watch. And he says, at least pretend you're going to pay attention to it. And so he did, and it was about a missionary in Africa. I don't remember where, it didn't matter, but different places. And he was going and with interpreters and learning the language, he was preaching to people that had never heard the gospel. I couldn't imagine that here, Brother Roy. We got churches on every corner. People drive $50,000 automobiles and sit in comfortable seats in air-conditioned buildings. And here this man is out underneath a shade tree in the heat of the day preaching to people that never heard the gospel. And oh, how God tugged on my heart. And I said, how awesome that would be. And God spoke to my heart. I'll take you there. That was in 01. I began to pray what God would want me to do and how he would do it. And by 03, the invitation came. I was actually headed to Camp Zion. My wife and I was headed out the door, and we were on the way. And phone rang. Of course, back then, we didn't have cell phones, and or we didn't anyway. And I said, let me get that. And she said, well, just call back and get the answer. I said, no, it won't take but a minute. We were about to run late. You know how preachers are. And So I answered the phone. It was a friend of mine over here in Boonville, Boonville, North Carolina. Brother Eddie Driver. I had went to Fruitland with him also. And he said, there's a man by the name of Leroy Hessler out of Gadewater, Texas. I said, I don't even know who you're talking about. But he knew him, and somehow Brother Leroy had heard or what God laid on his heart. Said, Brother Leroy Hessler wants to know if you would pray about going to Africa and preaching in the schools during the day and doing open-air crusades at night for about 12, 14 days. And I said, oh, man, how exciting. And I said, let me pray about that. I said, I'm going to a meeting. I'm headed out there right now. Must have been on a Saturday or Sunday morning. I tried to go down. And I said, well, I'll pray about it. I said, when I know, I'll call you. I said, if you don't hear me before the Wednesday or Thursday, I'll call you when I get home. And every time I seek the Lord in prayer, my wife knows when I'm praying, I don't want to talk to her. And you know how that goes. Your wife is the most faithful person that's in your life. Amen. She'll help you. She'll try to do what she can do. And she kept saying, what are you praying about? And I finally told her, I said, Brother Eddie sent me an invitation to go to Africa. I just finished up school. When you go to school full time, you sell everything you got to pay for school because you don't want to walk out of there owing nobody no money. And so first thing she asked is, how much is it going to cost? I said, he said about $3,800, $4,000. Where in the world are we going to get $4,000? I said, I don't know. That's not my problem. And that's been my thoughts all along. If God wants me to do something, I'm not concerned about everything else. He'll take care of it. Amen. And so I kept praying, and you have to go back. Let me just take just a brief second to share with you. When I finally surrendered to preach, I told the Lord, I said, okay, Lord, I said, I'll preach, but I ain't asking nobody to let me preach. I ain't asking nobody to do me no favors. All the preachers I know, whatever. I said, if you want me to preach, you send me the invitation. You open the door and I'll preach. If the invitation don't come, I won't preach. It's just that simple. God's been faithful all these years to provide a place to preach and opportunities. But when I kept praying to the Lord about going to Africa, he was like he was ignoring me. And he finally just said, why are you bothering me with this? Do you not remember what you told me? And he played that back to me. I said, okay, Lord, I'll go. And that was 18 years ago. This year here, if we get to go, it'll be 18 years doing ministry in Africa. And we did start out just preaching, and I don't say just, memorize nothing, preaching in the schools. And during the day, I preached anywhere from 2 to 5 schools every day. I'd do an open-air crusade. Soon it got dark, we'd start showing Jesus film, and we'd stop and we'd preach. And by the way, folks don't mind coming to church over there for a couple, 3 hours. They ain't in no hurry to get home. You hear me? I hope you ain't in no hurry to get home. If you got beans cooking, they better be in a crock pot. We preached in the schools and did the open air crusades and saw hundreds of thousands of men and women, boys and girls coming to the Lord. It was like God just taking his word and drawing them like a magnet. We'd pull up in a place and you wouldn't think there was nobody there. I mean, it's out in a field. And by the time before you know it, there was a 1,000, 2,000. I have preached as many as 4,000 and 5,000, 6,000 in one night at open air crusades and saw 2,000 and 3,000 at a time come to Jesus. I remember one of the first years I came back and I had preached, probably seen about 50,000 decisions for Christ in those 12 days. And our associate director had a mission conference there at home and asked me if I'd come and speak. And jokingly, we've known one another for several years, and jokingly he says, Brother Tom just got back from Africa. He says, Africa will never be the same. I said, Brother Gray, you're right. Africa will never be the same because there's 50,000 redeemed children of God that wasn't there before we went. Amen. And we continued, and what led us to do the ministry that we're doing now that God spoke about, and even though I didn't know that time would come in Matthew, there is my wife picked me up at the airport, and of course you're always tired, about 30 hours of traveling. She says, "Are you hungry?" Because she knows I don't do airplane food real good. And I said, "Yeah, well, let's just wait till we get home. We'll go to the Cracker Barrel in Dixon." Any of y'all go Cracker Barrel? Yeah. You know, Cracker Barrel knows me so well, they named a breakfast after me. Country Boy. Yeah, Country Boy breakfast. And I hadn't had no biscuits since I left. Hadn't had no gravy, no country ham, nothing like that. I didn't have no apples and sorghum. And so we sat down, and we got to back to Dixon near the town where I live, and that's what I order. And I used to eat the whole thing. I tell Granny, "You want anything, you better make your own order. I'm eating all this one." And nowadays, we split it. I can't hardly eat what I used to, but we were sitting there talking, and I knew those last couple of years, I knew that there was more that I needed to be doing, but I didn't know what it was. And I needed God's direction, and I needed God's will and everything that he wanted us to do there. And I'd been praying as I'd come back and felt like I left so much undone. Yeah, we saw thousands of saved and things, but a lot of times I felt like I was leaving a lot of them just like I found them. Except, for, you know, it's easy to tell somebody, John 3:16, how much God loves them. But sometimes it's hard for them to understand that love when they still have children dying, where they're holding children that are dying, and their children are starving. And you get back on a plane and go back home. Lord, what is it that I'm missing? That the waitress came and set that food on our table. And I looked at that food, bowl here, this, the platter, the whole thing. I couldn't handle it. I burst out in tears, did not care, unashamedly cried, weeping for the Lord of God to show me what he was telling me. There was enough food set before this preacher that would have fed a family for 2 days. God says, feed them in every aspect. Feed them the word of God. Preach the word for their salvation and feed them for their health. See, it's a whole lot easier to tell somebody how much God loves them when they see God love them. When you provide food, you provide medicine, and you provide a way of life that they've not realized, and how they come, and you make that promise and you preach on the authority of the word of God, that God will meet your needs. God will take care of your children. And you begin to, God just begins to open it up and reveal to him. And from that day forward, we've been doing all that we can do to feed as many as we can feed and preach and as many places as we can preach, doing all that. And then since that time, we've been given one of the tribal chiefs over there, Chief Nkana, who heard that we were looking for another place to do ministry, gave us well over 100 acres of land. He says, and there's more there if we need it. Yeah, y'all aren't getting it. How many people ever give you 100 acres? How many people said, if you're going to use it for ministry, all you need is right here? Amen. And when he heard about it, he says, how can I say no? He said, it all belongs to God. And on that farm, we have had pig programs. I don't know how many of y'all know when we first started a pig program. And we bought pigs, and we raised pigs, and we sold pigs, and we fed our kids with pork and done all that. And God blessed that, and we started a chicken program, and raising chickens and doing that, and then teaching them how to farm better. Some of them knew some of it about farming, but teaching them how. When I was growing up, my granny, we planted two crops at one time at the same row. Many of y'all have done that. We'd plant corn, and we'd plant pumpkins in the corn, or we'd plant peas in the corn. Them half runners, I hate them things. But that's what she planted, because they grow up the corn stalk. And then you got to go by and get them little shell beans and stuff. And then you got to shell them suckers. And, oh, it's a waste of time. Just grow you some pinto beans and be done with it, you know. And Blue Lake bush beans, you just break off the pods and break them up. That's my kind of beans. I'll raise them. Because the fact is that fertilizer costs so much money over there. And so if you're going to put fertilizer on the ground, you need to get all of it out of it you can get. Amen? So now we're raising, every time we raise a crop, plant one thing, we plant at least two things. And so we've done that, and we've been able to do that. God bless us with putting wells in. We've planted two churches, and in those churches, we utilize those buildings for schools. We've got two schools going right now. We've got one of my school teachers just went and got married, and she better be back Monday, though. She got married this last weekend, and she's been teaching for us about 5 years, 6 years now, doing a great job. And one thing they understand, I don't care what else you do during the day, the first hour of the day you teach Bible. I fired two teachers because I'd go back and my kids, God's given and trusted them to me. I'd ask them how much Bible they knew, if they knew the books of the Bible, if they knew Bible verses. And very few of them knew anything. I said, I told you to teach them Bible. He said, well, they just don't learn. I said, no, the fact is, it ain't the fact that they don't learn. You don't teach them. I said, you're fired. I said, there's nothing more important to me than having these kids learn the Word of God. And the lady we've got now, in fact, on both schools are doing great jobs. Teaching the Word of God, learning the books of the Bible, learning the verses of the Bible. In fact, I talked to Brother Chris the other day, who we were hoping would be here by now and come and join me, even in this meeting, and he would have been preaching. But I asked him to encourage our teachers to start memorizing the books of the Bible. Not the books of the Bible, but memorizing a book. The first book I tried to memorize was James. A servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. James could have said a lot of things. He could have said, I'm Jesus' brother. No. He didn't exalt himself. He exalted the Lord. Amen. A servant. If you teach those books and teach that word and the meaning of it and stuff. And so we started doing that, and now we've got probably 100 and something in each school. Each church is running probably 200 or more in and off with the COVID and stuff. We had our problems with that over there, too. Sometimes the government would have to shut down just like here for a while and only have a limited amount. But they didn't know that we was having church on Thursday. They was expecting us to be there on Sunday. So we just said, well, we don't have to have church on Sunday if you don't want us to. We'll have church on Thursday. While they off somewhere else, we're preaching the Word of God. Amen. Through all this last year or so is going on, Old Path has not slowed down. We've not backed up one iota. We're feeding more people now than we've ever fed. We have fed probably four, five, six times in the last year where we have fed over 500 families. Not people, 500 families at one time. You talk four or five for each family, so you're talking a couple thousand people. And we buy beans and meal. Meal's ground corn. That's their daily substance. And in case you don't know, beans is a good protein. Corn's 6% protein. We look at everything as according to how much protein we can feed them and feed these kids. And so then we started doing that because we our children couldn't go to school. So in order to feed our children that we've been feeding every day, we're just going to have to feed the whole family. Make sure the kids get food. So we started doing that, feeding the whole families. And we've done that 4 or 5 times. And that costs a little bit of money, but God's always been faithful. And God's always provided whatever it's taken to do that. And then we have fed just the churches. Sometimes 4 or 5 times, 6 times, just the churches. You say, well, Brother Tom, why you do just the churches? Because I want to show all everybody else how God provides for his people. Amen. I want the rest of the world over there to see and how it has been noised abroad in communities. In fact, we've been sending deacons to another area, Brother Roy, in the last 6 months or so to preach over there, to plant another church over there about an hour and a half away from the farm, and doing that. And hopefully and prayerfully we'll get to plant that church and do that. But every time we build a church, God has blessed us, and we put wells in. And the first time we did it, we only had a hand pump well. Then God educated me a little bit, and we've done learned some more. And so we started putting solar power pumps in. We went back and changed the ones that were just hand pumps. So we put solar power pumps in, and that pumps the water up in a big tank, holding tank, and then it's gravity flowed down. And that's what feeds everything you need to feed. Now, I want to tell you something. Y'all never been in a foreign country. Most bathrooms over in the third world, like Africa and different things, there's nothing but a hole in the ground. Amen? That's it. Now, our children and our people, we have conventional toilets in our churches, in our school. Amen? People never seen a toilet flush in their life. Yeah, y'all would think that funny, but people don't think because you were born and raised in it. I remember when I was a boy, I lived 10 years old before I had lived in a house that had electricity or plumbing. I mean, at least we had an outhouse. And, in fact, back then they used to advertise a 2 or 3 bedroom house. Now they advertise a house and 2 baths. Back then they advertised a house and 2 paths. And so you had a path going this way and a path going over here, and they both led down to the toilet. So, and then on top of that, I've got to share with you that what we're doing now is to not only to, and we need your help. I don't think I've ever really asked for anything. I just share what the needs are. But we are in need of building a clinic in the bush area, because we are losing so many young people, babies, that can't get taken to a hospital, can't make the trip to the doctors in Kalaluchi or somewhere. It's going to cost about $50,000 to get that started. And we're doing that. And I tell you why, how God burned my heart. I've been praying about it for some years. And 3 years ago when we were there, our women that went with us, from North Carolina, by the way, and I invite you, you're welcome to go. We have a team that's gone with us 4 or 5 times. And the women always do a ladies' conference, and they speak. Listen, women can minister to women where men can't even get to first base, especially in a country like that, where women are so deployed and taken for granted and counted as nothing, worthless. And they did that. And so the last year we went, they wanted to do something for the young mothers that had babies. I think it was 15 months, 2 years younger. And Brother Chris figured it up, how many we had in the church and stuff, and how many would come. And they fixed what they call a baby bundle. And it was just a baby blanket with some necessities and maybe some cloth diapers and some medicine and stuff that you would need, especially out in that area. For a baby, for their skin conditioning and things like that. I don't know what all they put in it. But they figured up how many we had, and I think it was a couple hundred. And so they fixed these, and we took them over there. And one of the conferences, they gave those out to the ladies come. And there was a young girl that come and just had a baby about a week old. And when I figured that out, I said, Brother Chris, why would that young lady get that baby out and bring him out here? And the reason she did it, because those things that she knew was going to be given away was needed so bad, Brother Roy, needed so bad, and there was no way she would have got it. She didn't know that we would have gave her one anyway, whether she came or not. But she didn't know that. So they had that conference that day. Before I left, about a week later, that baby got sick and died. About 2 weeks old. If we could have got it to some medical attention, I believe it would have been saved. But hundreds of babies, little children, die because the hardship of making that trip is too far and too long. So God has laid on my heart. That's our next big project. That's a project that needs to be done right now. We've been building houses. I'm going to show you some pictures in a minute. We've been building houses at the farm. We've built 8 so far. I think they're complete now. They were supposed to be completed Friday completely. And 4 of them are for church families. And 4 of them have a bedroom on this end, a bedroom on this end, a living room in the middle. And they are for the elderly people. That, like, a lot of the young kids are thrown away. Elderly people, they don't have a family. They don't have a son or somebody that's going to take care of them. Look at them. They just left them by the wayside. And so we're going to move them in there and give them a house that's got a concrete floor, got a flushing toilet, something they've never seen, never used in their life. And they're going to live there till they die. We're going to care for them. We feed them. We take care of their food. All everything they need is going to be right there. And then the other 4 houses for farm workers. Those farm workers are going to be paid. We don't ask anybody to work for nothing. We supplement them. And they're going to be, why? Because they're going to be the one that's raising all the food for the schools and the elderly people. We've quit trying to get to a place where we quit buying food and we just raise enough for both schools, both churches, everything, and do that ourselves. And we can do that cheaper by employing whole families. We've built those houses for about $600 a piece. You won't build a shed over here for $600. And we've built a whole house. But I say a picture's worth 1,000 words. We're still wanting to put wells in. I love putting wells in. You say, why do you love putting wells in? Because everywhere you read in the Bible, and it talks about wells, God did great things. Amen? Say it's a demonstration of the physical water for the clean health and to keep babies from dying from drinking stagnated water that gives them diarrhea and all different kinds of germs. And now people everywhere, where they belong to the church or not, are welcome to come and get water from the well. And they see that picture, and it represents the living water. Amen? So it represents God's grace. Oh, that we've been singing about this morning, God's love. Oh, he's done so much for me. Amen? Brother, sis, let's show them pictures. I want you to see that. There's some pictures that deal with, shows the pictures of us, the wells being put in, shows some of the feeding programs where our children are eating. Our children eat every day. Every day they come to school, they eat. And then, some preaching, which is, the main thing in life is preaching the Word of God. God says, I chose the foolishness of preaching that will save them that will believe. Amen. Preaching the Word of God, and then the construction. So we got a full, when we go, even right now, even though I'm not there, Brother Chris is so faithful, such a hard-working man of God to oversee these and oversee these projects. And he does that because the fact is we're able to send the money to do that and build these buildings and build these churches and these houses and stuff. So the construction, then that last part is God laid on my heart to bring you a few pictures to show you something else. Sis, let's go ahead and show that. Start out with the water pictures. Now, you know, we can't put a well in every place. Some places we go like this place here, you can't even get a vehicle back there, let alone a rig to drill a well. They have out of Tupelo, Mississippi, I believe it is, these water and purification systems. And they cost about $40, $40, $45, it was last time we bought any. And you can take that, and proof is in the pudding. You put any water in there, Brother Roy, and run it through that special filter, and it will purify that water. And so we take it out into the bush areas where we can't get to provide clean water for these people. And we actually put, you can see where the water is so dirty and dingy because of all that's in it. And that's out of a creek that people there would think that that's clean water. This young lady right here was, she was so tickled and when we showed it to their look, we just walk through the bush and we'll find two or three houses here and go on a little further and you'll find a few more houses. And when she seen that water coming out clean and seeing me and that bishop that was with me drinking it, she could not imagine. And when she realized that her children could drink that water, the man on the left is a bishop over there that helps us and do stuff. Kind of introduces us to people. And these few families live out in a place that you'd never find. Here's where we're putting up one of the, had put in the well. I think this is the one we had a hand pump well in, and we switched it over to solar. We put them stands up there and put them holding tanks, and then we'll run the water to the church. And stuff, so we do that. Now you see that truck that we have that God gave us a few years back, and it's loaded with bags of meal. And sometimes Brother Chris has a hard time because there's always more people than there is food, and you'd be surprised how people come and or they say, "Well, can we get two bags? Can we got a lot of family at home and stuff." And so it's you'd be surprised how hard it is sometimes to keep order when you've got people like that. And our children coming, and they'll send people. Here's our children eating, either at school or maybe at a church function. You know how Baptists are. If you're going to come together, you about got to eat. That little picture right there, she is something else. Chewing on it. She's going to bite on whatever it is, chicken leg or something. What really broke my heart, Brother Roy, is when I saw for the first time how excited children get for having something to eat. Just to get something to eat. And they'd be so excited. adults beg for food. Here's our ladies doing the cooking. We try to teach hygienic on everything. That's why we're putting in the toilets to cut down the spread of disease through that way of germs and stuff. And they always wash everything. They wash their hands. They never eat without praying. I've never seen people that are so humble and so thankful for what they get. And we take peanut butter and crackers over there because I like peanut butter and crackers. If I eat peanut butter, Brother Tom eating peanut butter and crackers, everybody wants peanut butter and crackers. So the kids love them. That's something they've never seen before. That's what we call meal. That right there, that's the ground corn that's put in boiling water. And it just stirs in and stirs and keeps fattening and gets fat till it gets so thick like that. And they'll just reach in there and they'll pinch that off. And they'll dip it in an onion or a tomato or something to give it. It has no flavor whatsoever. I can't stand it. They said, Brother Tom, you eat sheep? I said, no, you can have my part. I said, I'd rather eat that. There's one of the churches that provided a lot of that during these conferences there, Lust Baptist Church. They're out of Gilbertown, Alabama. They're, again, so faithful. Just like y'all, I want to thank you again for that support. If what you're seeing, if you're a member of this church, I want you to realize what you're seeing is you're as much of a part of it as I am. Everybody can't go. But everybody can do something. Can't none of us do it all, but all of us can do enough to get the job done. Amen? So what you're seeing is simply that, is that you're as much of a part of that as I am. I do get the privilege of flying 30 hours and going, but, you know, going over there, it don't bother me because I'm so excited to get back. And coming back, it don't bother me because I'm so exhausted, I'll just sleep most of the way. But I want each and every one of you to know this. You have an invitation. If you really want to see what Old Path is doing on the ground, hello? If you want to see where every dime is spent, you come go with me. But you better have your running shoes on because even an old man like me don't get much of a break. We've got so much going on and we're so busy that when you come back, that 20-something hour flight, that ain't nothing. That'll help you rest up for a while before you get back home. Here's some of that team that was with me when these ladies they always do ladies conferences, and they always take on special projects, and they pay all that by themselves. They pay for everything they do, the baby bundles and everything. That's Brother Chris Sabu, who is our overseer, liaison for Old Path Ministries. Hopefully and prayerfully, he may get to come in November. And if he gets here in November, Brother Roy, I'll call you. Maybe we can bring him back and let him speak to himself. He's a native Zambian. Here we are doing a crusades at night. Like I said, when you first pull up, you'll see a few people, and then you'll think there ain't going to be many. And next thing you know, you've got 1,000 people or more. This man lives on the way to the farm. As you can see, he's disabled, but he don't sit there and beg nobody to give him nothing. Well, Roy, he takes these tin cans and cuts them, and he'll make what they call charcoal burner oven stoves, and he cuts them and bends them and does all that, sets them out on the front of his place, and people stop and buy them. I've seen him many a time sitting on the ground out of the wheelchair, sitting on the ground working and doing these kind of projects. We used to make our own brick, and which I have found out instead of spending money to make the brick, because it takes so long. It takes about 3 or 4 weeks to make them, then you got to burn them to cure them, then you got to let them dry. We can buy them actually cheaper than we can do all that. But so we make all we used to. Now we buy those bricks from local, and that gives them employment. That employs those people, them men and boys around us, to sustain their families. So we're working on a church building there. You'd be surprised how you could save money by building trusses and stuff a better way than what they're used to doing. They're getting ready to creosote all that lumber. We creosote everything because of the fact of termites. If you don't, you have to use steel. Otherwise, in about 5 years, the timber will be gone due to termites infestation. Never have any problems getting these men and boys to work. Never have any problems getting these ladies to work. Why? Because I see God blessing them, taking care of them, meeting their needs. In fact, a lot of times when working on them buildings like I was doing there, after a while they'll just say, "Brother Tom, you come down. Brother Tom, you come down. I'll do this. I'll do this." And sometimes I say, "Thank you," and I'll let them. That's our last church we built right there. Now, these are the houses that we've just built. I said we've got 8 of them built. All this is done at the farm, and that's where the clinic will be built, at the farm, because we've already got our truck there. We've got transportation. If somebody comes and we need to run them into town for the to the hospital, where something other than we'll have 2 nurses, registered nurses, there at the clinic at all times to care for these people that come in. Most of them will be probably around the age of 30 or better, well schooled and well there in Zambia, going through the colleges there, and hopefully some that's got some experience, or 5-6 years experience anyway. These pictures right here I threw in, you saw the pictures of our children and how they look. And these right here are something that's, again, it's just so much. There's just so much to do, Brother Roy. These are street kids. These are kids that have been thrown away. These are kids that sleep in the streets on a piece of cardboard. They're the ones that hunt for food wherever they can get it, or beg for food, and hopefully in town somebody will come out of a restaurant. We used to take, and I didn't do it, I always had Brother Chris do it, buy food and take it out there and give it to them. I had a picture I wish I could have showed you. I wish I could have got it on there. I didn't receive it till yesterday after I left, and it was 5 or 6 boys going through the trash pile, through the dump, Brother Roy, with a bag in their hand looking for something to eat. God said, you know, Matthew, I won't take time to go there, and I won't take time to read all that, but, you know, if you're going to minister to the Lord, we've got a lot of things backwards. We really do. Let me just say that. We're waiting on God to send revival. Who wants to see God send revival? Amen. We're waiting on God to send revival. And God said, if you do what I tell you, I'll send revival. Go read 2 Chronicles 7:14. If we'll do what God wants us to do, He'll send revival. Are we willing to do what God wants us to do? See, most folks think about wicked people, those whoremongers and those homosexuals and all that kind of stuff, those people that murder and those people that kill. But God ain't talking to them, is He? God's talking to His people. And there at the end it says, turn from your wicked ways. You don't like to be told that you're wicked. But God says we're wicked. Not that we're wicked, but we have some wicked ways. We think too much of the world. God says we do that and He'll send revival. We think God, we want God to minister to us. Oh Lord, bless me, bless me, bless me. But God says, if we bless people, we'll minister to Him. And that's what we're supposed to be ministering to Him. And if we'll do those things, we'll feed them and we'll clothe them. What did the Bible say right there in Matthew? It says, what you've done to the least of one of these, my brethren, you've done unto me. Everywhere Jesus went, He healed the sick. He fed the multitude. Everywhere He went, He met the needs of the people. And they saw that He loved them. I've got one daughter and one son. But the daughter especially favors her daddy in a lot of ways. Her mama tells her she's just as hard-headed as I am. I said, why would you say something like that? Being a sweet, kind, loving, compassionate person that I am. And she says I'm hard-headed. But she said, my daughter's just like me. I've heard people have made the statement, there's no way you could deny her. She's a spitting image of you. Believe it or not, I used to have dark hair. I used to have a lot of it. Used to, I couldn't hardly get a comb through my hair. Nowadays, I can't tell when a comb goes through it. It just, hello. I have to look in the mirror, see if it's going to lay down. I can't feel it. But they say she's just like you. You couldn't deny her if you wanted to. So just for a few moments, I want to preach and ask you these questions right here. Who do you resemble? Who do you resemble? Take your Bibles and turn to the book of John. We're just going to look at about four different scriptures real fast. Christ not only revealed and resembled the Father, but represented Him in every detail and could say without hesitation, He that has seen me has seen the Father. Amen? John 14:9 says exactly that. Jesus said, talking to Philip here, and when Philip said, show us the Father, and Jesus says in verse 9, He says, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me? Philip, he has seen me, has seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? I would say that Christ realized that He resembled the Father quite well. But how is it that we resemble the Father? Not only did He resemble Him, that was, and even in appearance, but in John, turn over to John 1:14. His countenance reflected the glory of the Father. 1:14 says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. How do we measure up, church? How do we measure up today in our lives? How do we resemble the Lord? How do we resemble our Heavenly Father? We definitely don't know what He looked like, so you can't say you look like Him, but I'm sure He was a handsome feller. But the thing about it is, you know, it's not having your church, your name on a church roll. It's not being a member of a church. It's not even that important, Brother Roy, that you come every Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. Because, see, there's so much time left in the week, isn't it? It's not how you perceive one another sitting in here. But how do you resemble the Lord when it comes to conscience? How you look or seen? And how is it that the glory of God would be shown and realized in your life? And then his compassion expressed the grace of the Father. John 5:19-20. Look over there. I want you to see this. John 5:19 says, "Then answered Jesus and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. For the Father loveth the Son and showeth him all things that himself doeth, and he will show him greater works than these, that you might marvel. They're talking about the compassion of the grace of God. Is the compassion of the Lord showed in your life? Or is it so easy just to bypass, overlook every opportunity that God brings in our life that we might have compassion on someone? I don't know if you do Facebook, follow me. The only thing I put on there is ministry. I don't follow none of that other, but I put on there a couple weeks ago where we were cooking. My grandsons were helping me. We barbecued a bunch of Boston butts and some beef briskets and stuff. And we took some of those down to Waverly. If you heard of Waverly, Tennessee, where the flood was a couple weeks ago, almost wiped out the entire town. Man, so much devastation, so much devastation. People lost homes, lost everything they got. We had 20 fatalities, 20 lives lost in that flood in one day, just in a matter of a few hours. And as I said, we can't do it all, but we can all do something. So my back won't let me no more. I got a slip disc. I got a bulging disc. And my knee was supposed to have been operated on 4 or 5 months ago. I don't have time to do all that because I don't have time to sit down and let it heal. But we can't do it all, but I can do something. And I do cook fairly well. And so we made that, and we took that down there to feed people because people are hungry. And then I'm hoping and praying when I get back home, it'll be settled down a little bit. We'll have opportunities to go and preach the Word of God because a lot of them are hungry for the Word of God and don't know it. Amen? But to have compassion, express the grace of the Father, express the grace of our Lord and Savior, and then his competence displayed the greatness of the Father. John 10. Verse 27. Bible says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." Whatever it is, if we'll follow the Lord, he'll enable us to do all that he's asked us to do. He'll enable us and provide for us the things that's needed to minister to the hearts of men, women, boys, and girls. Anywhere you go in the world, he's there, and he'll do it. There ain't a job that he can't hasn't mastered. There's not a project that he can't fulfill. There's nothing that you can't do for the cause of Christ. If God lays on your heart, God directs you to do something, don't worry about the negative people that tell you can't go. Don't worry about people that say that's almost impossible. You know, I've heard that for so many years. And it flows in one ear and out the other. Even pastors, Brother Roy, have said, "Well, Brother Tom, we've just got so much going on in church and we're doing this and we're doing that. We just don't know how we could take on anything else." You know what I tell you? That's okay. See, what you won't do, God will get somebody else to do. You just gave away blessings for being, because evidently you don't serve the same God I serve. See, to me, $50,000 is no object because it's going to come from God. Oh, yeah, it's a lot of money, but not for God. For me, yeah. That wouldn't be a lot of money for some of y'all, maybe. I don't know. But listen, when you say you can't do something for God, you don't serve the same God I serve. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I tell people all the time, quit making excuses why you can't do it and figure out a way you can make it work. Amen? So I just want to ask this morning, I want us to take inventory this morning, church. How does our life resemble God? How does our life resemble our Lord and Savior? Do we have the compassion for lost people? Do we have compassion for anybody that just needs help? It don't matter where you're at in life. It don't matter who you are. It don't matter what color you are. Do you have compassion for people in life and they need a touch? They need hope. They need to see hope. You know, sometimes just that small gift, sometimes that little thing will shine a ray of hope in somebody's life. Or are you too busy? You got too much else going on. I love to hear when people brag on my daughter and my son and my grandkids. They do quite a bit, only by God's grace. Nothing their granddaddy done. But they've got my granddaughter finishing up her fourth year of medical school at UT Martin. She's going to be a nurse practitioner, and she's got such a loving heart. I said, boo-boo. I said, I'll be glad when your fourth year's up. I says, you can go spend a year or so on the field with granddaddy. You can be the nurse there at the clinic. She don't say no. Oh, no, she would never say no. She says, Gaga, we'll see what happens. She's willing, at least. If God opens that door and gets her to go through, she's willing. My daughter's one of the most givingest people I know. She suffered with blood disease for the last 6 years. Could hardly stand to roll over in bed, hardly stand to get out of the bed. She's in so much pain 24/7, never a day. But you know what? She's still just as active in church as she was. She still has all the youth coming over to the house, doing things, this one thing or another. She makes more pastries and cupcakes. She's a dessert queen at church. And she's always making that stuff for the kids, doing so much. My wife says yesterday, she was making some food for somebody, sitting on a stool because she didn't have the strength to stand up. She making lasagna or something like that. Never quit. God's compassion, his countenance, everything about him. Does our life really, you know, Brother Roy, and I'm sure you have too, and some of y'all have, but I went to witness to folks, tell them about the Lord, because I didn't see no fruit, didn't even realize it. And then they'd say something to you like, oh yeah, I got saved a long time ago. What church you go to? Oh, I don't go to church anymore. And you're representing Christ? Well, the same thing goes with us, church. If our compassion isn't shown, we don't realize that we've got the competence to do whatever it is God wants us to do. How do you? How do I? How do we resemble Christ, as God is our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, we owe him everything. Amen, Brother Charlie? We owe him everything. Brother Roy, I'm through. You'll come give an invitation. whatever you. If any of you have questions or would like to talk, I'm not in no hurry. I don't even know what time it is. I never get in a hurry. But I do try to be mindful of the time. So, but if anybody has any question, I'll be glad to try to answer it for you, as Brother Roy will know. We can help you in any way. And most of all, if you're here today, or you're on Facebook, whatever, if it's a televised, you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you can today. Amen. If the Holy Ghost of God would prick your heart, and I pray that he has through something's been said, some picture that was showed, something, you can be saved today. Don't leave here without making all things sure. I hope that when you leave here, you can say, all things well.
Amen.
With my soul. Amen. Amen.
Yeah, bless you, brother. Amen. Everyone stand. Thank you, Brother Tom. Sister Shirley has an announcement to make, but right now the most important thing is you to listen to what God. Miss Brenda, come to the piano, and Brother Ray, the organ. Lord's kicking your heart about anything. Altar's always open. If you're not saved, what opportunity? People in other countries never heard the gospel. Here we are. Have the opportunity to hear God's word. Thank you, Brother Tom, for coming, for giving. Altar's open as we pray and seek his face. And then as you leave this morning, the regular offering plates back there, and then the offering that you give, if you'll make the check out to Fletcher First Baptist Church, put it in right play, and it'll go to Old Paths Ministry for this clinic that he's talking about. Can you imagine if you and I live somewhere and it take you hours or maybe impossible to get to the doctor with your children, grandchildren? We're blessed. Let's do what we can so other people will be blessed. And while you're seeking God's will, Brother Gunn's going to come pray with us and for us. Altar call right now, and then Miss Shirley's going to come with an announcement. Service tonight, also baptism, and then the preach word.
Let's pray. Father, we want to thank you this morning for your blessings for salvation through grace by faith. Father, we thank you, Father, for the desire you've put in Brother Tom's heart to go and share the word of God. Lord, I pray you'd burden us, Father, that you'd stir our hearts, stir our minds. Lord, let us be remindful, Father, for how you shed your son, you sent your son on our behalf. And Lord, I pray that we could be that ambassador, we could be that one, Father, that represents our Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord, we're a needy people, and you know our needs. But Father, the greatest need of all, salvation. I pray, Father, for one lost this morning. Father, you'd give them one more chance. Give them the opportunity. The Holy Ghost, through conviction, would compel, would draw, would show them, Father, pull them to Christ. We love you, Lord, and we thank you, Father, for all you've done for us. We thank you for your blessings, Lord. You have blessed our nation. You have blessed our families. You have blessed this church, and we want to thank you for that, Lord. We love you this morning. Thank you for each and every one that's here. I pray, Father, you'd bring us back safely tonight for your honor and glory. In Jesus' name we pray.